Hi, I'm Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center on Vashon Island, Washington. We're glad to be able to bring you these podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about our Zen Center, please visit our website at pscc.org. So I cracked open Trungpa, which I haven't read much Trungpa, but Cutting Through Spiritual Materialism has some very interesting parts, including, from my point of view, on compassion. And this is what he says about compassion. Trust and compassion for oneself bring inspiration to dance with life, to communicate with the energies of the world. That's what he says about compassion. And that for him is compassion. And I, roughly speaking, agree with that orientation. That that we do work on what I think of as the wisdom axis, this vertical axis, in which we get to know ourselves and know and trust ourselves. And part of that is being compassionate with ourselves. And that work leads to and gives us the courage to go out and dance in life on this axis, on this horizontal axis. And to dance with the many different energies of the world. That's our practice too, not just sitting in here. Sometimes I think in the Zen tradition we need a little bit of encouragement to go dance, because we're a monastic tradition after all, from way back, and we can get kind of stuck in this vertical position. What I like to say, my old friend Shinjo used to call petrified monks. Stuck in this position, stuck in fear of movement. So I think this practice has to lead to dancing with all sorts of people. Like last week, I talked about the kind of inclusive nature of our practice and meeting everybody with an equal sincerity. That kind of dancing. But it's not easy to dance. I don't believe we can just go out and dance. I really do think that a critical part of the practice is learning to dance. Otherwise, we're just going to get dizzy, pulled from one person to the next, and tired. I think it's quite possible for that to happen too. So, I want to talk about this compassion versus sentimentality today. So not just willy-nilly going out and dancing, but doing it differently, doing it in conjunction with our practice. I don't want to use sentimentality as a straw person. It seems like a pretty easy thing to do. Like, yeah, it's easy to criticize being overly sentimental. But I think it may help us, using that word, may help us understand Buddhist compassion better. See, I'm actually kind of sentimental myself, so I'm not going to trash it. The root of sentimental is sentiment, which means feeling. So from the Latin sentire, to feel. So let's talk about feeling. And here's my warning that I'm really going to play both sides of this feeling thing. I think feeling is good. Feeling is good, an important part of our practice. I think it's important that we not be too heady in our practice, to, you know, be, know all the sutras, but not have a feeling. So I'll just praise feeling for a moment here. I'll do that with one of my favorite poems by E.E. Cummings. Some of you may know this. Since feeling is first, who pays any attention to the syntax of things will never wholly kiss you. Wholly to be a fool while spring is in the world, my blood approves, and kisses are a better fate than wisdom, lady, I swear by all flowers. Don't cry. The best gesture of my brain is less than your eyelids flutter, which says, we are for each other. Then laugh, leaning back in my arms, for life's not a paragraph, and death, I think, is no parenthesis. So, as you can see, I have a kind of romantic streak, and I think if you're dead to feeling, you're not doing this practice right. If you're paying attention to the syntax of things all the time, the abstruse dharma, the technical parts of sitting zazen, I think you miss the spirit of practice. And I think really in Zen practice, though it seems very calming and unemotional, certain part of our work is working with our emotions, embracing them, not avoiding them, and following a feeling. It's about following a feeling in the end, but it's a very subtle feeling. It's not our normal feelings. It's a very subtle feeling that is beneath those feelings. And that has to be our guide in the end. Not thinking, but feeling. So in a way, I think feeling is first in our practice as well. But feeling can also be an addiction. This kind of feeling that E.E. Cummings talks about. That kind of feeling, the bubbly feeling. And I think we can become addicted to fluttering eyelids and to chasing spring. We can be ruled by sentiment at times. And that can lead us to, in the world of helping, that can lead us to what Trungpa calls idiot compassion. Bluntly. When I was 18 years old, 17 or 18, my good friend Peter Rumsey had a really generous aunt living in Washington, D.C., and she got us tickets to go see Death of a Salesman in D.C. with Dustin Hoffman and John Malkovich. Wow! Well, it's only a five-hour drive up there from Raleigh, so we got, you know, on the weekend, we got in the car. Anyway, got in the car. And at around the three-hour mark, there was this car next to us. And I must have been in the back seat. I guess I was in the front seat. It was just the two of us. And the gas tank lid was open. I must have been bored. Because I just remember kind of motioning to that guy, his gas, telling him, feeling the need to tell him that his gas tank lid was open with my hand. He wasn't getting it. So I rolled down the window and he yelled, your gas tank lid! And my glasses went. Gone. So Dustin Hoffman sounded great. He has such a nice voice. She did, the aunt gave me some sunglasses, some reading glasses or something she had. They were super weak. They didn't do much at all. I guess. And for me, I guess that still stings for me to think about that time. But it's a kind of metaphor in a way for being, for the kind of help that is, that I do sometimes out of habit or out of boredom or unsettledness in a certain way. Versus helping in a kind of conscious way. Helping because, helping having done this practice, I feel, in a kind of settled way, but also because we know, I mean, I want to put this right, because it's part of our practice, but not just because it's part of our responsibility. I don't mind using that card. It's our responsibility to get out there and help and to work on this plane. But also because we know it's part of the adventure of this practice is meeting other people and their suffering. So, you know, the example for me of that is Sandy Smith, who some of you may remember or not. She died a few years ago. But her partner asked me to come and meet with her, even though she wasn't part of the Sangha, and it was a really busy time for me, a time of great upset, actually, for me in my life. But I did it because it was my responsibility, and also, again, because I know that's part of the journey. And I journeyed with her for almost 2 years. She had brain cancer. I forgot, did I just say that? She had brain cancer. And and I met with her regularly. And I tell you, I learned so much from her and from that relationship. It was really a relationship of equals. I mean, I'm sure I learned as much from her as she was helped by me. That's my idea of a kind of settled compassion. Sentimentality is being captured by feeling. You know, a sentimental film is one that grabs us in a way that wrings out the emotion cheaply, with, you know, with music or a cheap plot twist. Oscar Wilde he's always great for a good quote. He calls a sentimentalist one who desires to have the luxury of an emotion without paying for it. What does it mean to pay for an emotion? To not get it on the cheap. I think part of it for me is recognizing that emotion is complex, that we pay for it by experiencing complexity and deep, the complexity that we find when we really feel deep emotion. So it's not like spring is good and fall is bad. It's recognizing that sadness and happiness are intertwined. You know, and a good film, I think, recognizes that. I mean, my favorite one recently was Manchester by the Sea. Anybody see that one? I mean, that was heavy. But also had this kind of grace within that sadness. Or even Wes's favorite, La La Land. I'm sorry to out you there, Wes. But, you know, which had almost the opposite sort of light feeling, but also had this bitter sweetness within it. That recognized both sides. I also love that film. And so I think realizing the richness of emotion is also something that gives our practice and gives the way in which we help our compassion a kind of weight and truth that it wouldn't otherwise have if it were just simply sentimentality. Jung talks about sentimentality as well. He says, you know, don't be too sentimentality, he says, is think of the lamentable role of popular sentiment in wartime. Think of the so-called humanitarianism. The psychiatrist knows only too well how each of us becomes the helpless but not pitiable victim of our own sentiments. Sentimentality is a superstructure erected upon brutality. He's pretty rough on it there. But also, unfeelingness is the counterposition and inevitably suffers the same defects. And I think unsentimentality can also have extreme unsentimentality also has its real problems. Unfeelingness. And I shouldn't blame Anne Rind for this, Anne Rand. But, because I haven't read enough of her stuff, but sometimes, you know, she's kind of in the public sphere talking, that she's talked about, and I feel like her extremely unsentimental view can also be a problem. So my ideal is for me, and I hope for you to gather the wisdom that comes from stopping, the wisdom about ourselves, the wisdom about our emotions, the wisdom about our own suffering, and the wisdom of the subtle feelings that lie below our regular, everyday feelings. And then not to be stuck, not to get stuck in that, but to be moved, to still have feeling, to be moved into action in this plane. And action based not only on sentiment, but also on this settled wisdom. So, kind of to put it simply, a mix of cool and warmth, I think, is what we need. We need both to feel love and to feel compassion and to also know ourselves and know the complexity that lies within ourselves and others. And I think knowing both, allows us to dance out in the world.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Puget Sound Zen Center. Thanks so much for listening. To learn more about our community, you can visit our website at pszc.org.